Yes, hello, welcome to The Catch-Up. Thank you for streaming and make sure you subscribe as well. You saw a weird thing driving on the M1 the other day, didn't you?
Guy playing the trumpet and it led to, we all know, people are doing stuff that's not driving. It's not good, but it is pretty weird and we had plenty of people jump on board.
Also, Moon and I have done something that you haven't, Marto, and let's face it, you haven't lived. Dressing up as a mascot.
And we asked you, what has your gut stopped you from doing?
After Marto took a splinter out of a man's foot on a weekend away. Little did you know he had a raging foot fetish and you played right into his desires.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
We're sitting in here so we can't see what everyone's doing in the traffic, but after we finish work, we're out and about in there and you see some weird things. So we know that most people listening right now are in their cars, usually driving slowly. Look across at the person next to you. What are they doing in the car next to you? They're all, well, hopefully not texting, but we know that's a truism.
They're either texting or knuckle deep in their own face.
Or you picking your nose.
Oh, right.
Well, where this started.
That's not strange. That's common.
Just tidying things up, personal hygiene. Some people are eating, but the thing that I saw, and I've never seen this one before, was there was a bit, and I haven't got any audio, because the only audio that came from this was, oh, my God, you're kidding. Is that bloke? And then it was playing a trumpet while driving down the
M1.
Why would you do that? Because you want to catch up. I have asked this question before because I think somebody was doing their makeup or something.
Yeah,
or something.
Women do their makeup at the traffic lights. That's common.
I've heard of a violin getting played. There was someone rang us up a few years ago and said, I saw a bloke or a girl going in the along the M1 because you're doing 40 k's an hour where you could be doing 110, just practicing the violin. But this one was a trumpet.
Maybe it was the last post or from Remembrance Day.
Maybe he was on his way to a trumpet exam. I don't know, but he was catching up. That's one of the greats. And I know especially a lot of truckies can see down into cars. I don't want any
naughtiness.
Naughtiness, that's the word I say, because they reckon they see it all the time. Is there's two passengers, but they can only see one head. Got me? Okay. Oh. You got me?
Sadly, yes.
Yes, all right.
I think
that goes
on
an incredible amount.
That person might be having a nine-nine.
No.
Sleepy time.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Sleepy time, nine-nine.
Let's go with that. So I don't want any of that, but tell us what you see on a daily basis. Don't worry about text. What you see other people doing, the stupidest thing you see people doing out on the highway.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Yeah, what have you seen, mate?
All right, going down the Gold Coast because I drive a work for a transport company. Yeah. A woman watching Netflix in her dash or some sort of after TV show sort of thing, cutting across three lanes to get off the highway with two kids in the back and giving me a foul look for being so close to her when she's just cutting diagonal across.
Jehorna?
I'm in a truck that's like about five, six times her weight.
That's terrible. What a
pain. How do you know she was watching Netflix, Mark?
Because the dashboard showed up with two faces or something of an image, because being in a truck, you know, you look down.
See everything.
And you can see that you're coming across.
Okay, great. Thanks, Mark.
That's who's out there. And you go, I wonder what caused that accident.
Lou of Morayfield, what have you seen in the traffic?
Hey, Robin, how you going? Not too bad. I've seen a guy reading a 400-page book.
Okay.
At 100 k's an hour.
Right, great.
And I've seen a young lady painting her toenails on the dashboard of a car at 100 k's.
Driving.
So she's got one foot on the accelerator, the left foot is up on the dash.
No. Both, one foot's up on the dash, the other foot's up on the seat.
Cruise control.
Cruise control. Cruise control.
Oh my God.
Sensational.
That's good skill, though.
Fantastic. Yeah.
What about the bloke with the book?
Yeah, it was mid pages, probably 400. It was a pretty thick book.
Yeah.
He was just in the middle of reading, doing 100 k's an hour. He had the book up on the steering wheel reading.
They're sharing the roads with us. That's super stuff.
That must have been a real page turner, though, not to put it down at 100 k's.
Paul of Caboolture, what have you seen?
Hey, guys, love your show.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, I was driving up, driving my bus up to Caboolture and driving up on the freeway, and there was a lady driving along with no hands on the wheel doing her knitting.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh.
Who does knitting still?
Yeah, she must have been getting it ready for the baby when she got to the hospital or something. I don't know.
Oh, God. I just confirmed.
Knit one, pearl one.
Paul, we speculated before that you guys up in higher vehicles like trucks and buses see a lot of action. Is that true?
We do. You would not believe. We could write books on what we see up here.
Stay on the line. We're going to go to traffic and we'll speak to you privately.
People having a bit of a chat on the pink microphone.
is the Big Breakfast. On Brisbane's
Honestly, that is so yellow.
Marto, Robin and the Moon Man. Lend a hand.
All week we've been lending a hand and it feels so good to be doing something for somebody else. We're getting a little bloke called Henry home for Christmas. He's 3 years old. Here's the story so far.
Henry was a healthy, happy three-year-old, contracted a chest infection, and then he started having seizures on the fourth day.
Oh, no.
Lost the ability to breathe.
You've left your country home for good and you've bought a place in Brisbane. And you need what stuff done?
So we need ramp built so he can have access to the house and a big open bathroom so that we can get him into the shower within a shower chair. Okay. It'll be fantastic to get him home.
And that's where Marto and his group of amazing people come in.
Oh, amazing people. All right.
Greg from Brisbane Post and Beams.
Jack from the Rangbar awesome. Timbers.
Dennis Wagner. He said they're good for the concrete.
Wayne of the Gold Coast.
I'm a chippy.
S&R Concreting. ADB Painting.
We started demo. Met Roger, who's been the most valuable bloke, project manager. He's there every morning.
An engineer would be really what we need at the moment.
Hey, Mike, you might be able to help us, eh?
Yeah,
I
thought we might be able to assist.
Give your company a plug, mate.
Yeah, so we're MJR Building Approvals.
Roger, our project manager.
Morning. Just this bathroom would have to be getting up 15, 20. And we've got all the concrete going in tomorrow, so, you know, 12 cubes of concrete and guys all day tomorrow.
We're up around 35 to 40 grand.
40 plus, it sounds like.
Yeah, easily.
Thank you so much, Roger.
We'll get it sorted, no problem.
He is an awesome little kid. I can't believe what he's been through, and he can just keep smiling.
Donations keep coming. In fact, we have been approached by a rugby league great who's heard it off his own bat and he wants to make a massive donation tomorrow. So we often talk to Ian Healy, a cricketing legend, about what's going on with the cricket. And the last time we did, which was earlier this week, the conversation turned pretty quickly because the men's cricket was not that exciting to talk about.
Nothing to see here.
No, into a bit of an ad for his car wash business. Now, for those that don't know, Heels, along with a couple of other sporting greats, own Hoppy car wash.
You know Kevy Walters was in at the bottom at the first days of this, don't you?
Oh, I didn't know that.
So it was Kevy Walters, Chris Johns, who ended up being the first CEO of the Storm, but played in the centres for the Broncos, him and Heels. And then Kevy backed out. Next thing you know, the business went gangbusters.
Yeah, there's 11 or something of them. Anyway,
11.
Yeah, we went with Heels and asked him if he'd ever been in the frog mascot. This is what he said.
I've been in the frog suit lots. And one of our managers won a swimming race in the frog suit the other night.
Swimming race in the frog outfit, isn't that great?
So obviously, Hoppies, the mascot, is a frog.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been inside the frog suit, which I salute. Because he's a man that doesn't have to do that.
No, but he does it. But it started a conversation amongst us, which I would now like to bring to the public domain, about being in a mascot outfit. Greg Martin, have you ever done it?
Negatory.
Haven't lived, has he, Moon?
I'm too big.
You don't know what it's... Oh, they have the big mascot.
Don't
worry
have
about
tall
that.
Tall mascots. You can have stocky mascots. Mascots are a thing for little people, mate. I remember a mate of mine. He was living up here. He loved the Penny Panthers, all right? And he rang them and he said, can I be the Penny Panthers when you come up? Can I be the mascot when you come up?
Oh, dear.
And the girl who does it down there could do push-ups and twirly-whirlies. And he's a stockbroker. He just
wheels.
He just wanted to get free tickets. And they said, no, you can't fit inside the suit. They're not meant for big people.
Well,
at drama school down in Melbourne, I was in the Moomba Parade 2 years in a row as Billy the Bottle as part of the recycling float. So I had a big foam bottle on me and a harness. I could just see out of a little slip.
Arms and legs outside of the bottle?
Arms and legs, so big black hands, green tights and big black shoes. Hi, I'm Billy the Bottle. Don't forget to recycle me, kids. Yeah. Put me in the recycling and not in the bin.
Talking mascot.
Did you talk?
Talking mascot. Yeah, Billy the Bottle. Anyway, I got to the end of the parade where all the floats are amassing and all of a sudden Billy's standing there. People forget there's a person inside a mascot suit. Whiplash. Bang. I'm on the ground and then people are jumping on me and I'm going to just see pom-poms on the end of shoes. It was the Greek dancers. They had gone me. I could see it through the slit, a man with a bazooki just laughing his head off and then Billy was swearing in his high-pitched voice. Yeah. Hey, what are you?
Never broke character, which is
incredible. Hey, listen, you creep pussy malaka. Why don't you get off me?
Okay, good stuff. Good work from Billy the Bottle.
Oh, that's too funny. My story's not nearly as exciting as that. I was the mascot when I was an exchange student in America. We had an eagle as our cheer squad mascot. And because I couldn't do all the tumble turns and stuff that the girls did in their little skirts, you know, the cheerleaders.
So you did.
You just the screaming angle.
Breakfast on Triple M.
Told you I went away last weekend, and I haven't spoken much about it with about five mates, all my age, etc.
On the chopper?
Yeah, well, I haven't spoken about the helicopter.
You haven't, have you?
You've got a chopper.
I do have a friend who owns
to an
a
island.
Chopper, and it was.
That's all he spoke about last Friday.
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, yeah, you did.
That's not what this is about.
Oh, yeah, you did.
All right.
And a 20-hour card game.
The card game went for. It was four periods, but the same card game went for 19 hours, but we had a couple of breaks.
Right.
But you don't want to speak about any of that. What do you want to speak about?
No, I just remembered I found myself, sometimes we used to run that accidentally gay segment. Might have been. Well, Sunday morning, it was early, and the card game was about to start again. And one of the blokes, and I'd only just met him because all of these fellas were from Toowoomba, right? And they were all mates. They were all mates from school, so they all knew each other really well, and I was just mates with one, and I became mates with all of them.
Yeah,
anyway,
the chopper guy.
He said, Marto, can you give me a hand? And he was reaching down to his toes. He said, I got a really bad splinter, I think, in my toe.
What do you mean you think?
Well, that's the thing. I said, well, sit down. I said, you can't. I said, I'm the same. I'm having trouble getting to my toes, getting my toes, but only because of my flexibility in my hips and stuff. But he had a good gut on him, this bloke.
Oh, right.
Good beer gut?
Good
he
gut.
He can never reach. He's never going to be able to reach.
Never reach. I said, oh, I see. When you've got a big gut, because I'm starting, I'll get one eventually, but starting, you can't reach. You can't work on your toes. So I had to get the tweezers out and pull this splinter out. And I said, why don't you put shoes on? He said, because I can't. I can't do up my shoelaces anymore.
Can't
I have to wear either thongs or slide on.
Can't you bring them up on I'm trying now.
What happens is once upon a time putting on socks, you would sit on the end of the bed and just pull the leg up. But now I've got to stand and make a number four
with
my
legs.
This
is what
happens
with
the sock on that way. And I was in the post office the other day, and you know how you can get camping equipment and, you know, ice cream trucks in club colours in the post office now. You can't get a stamp, but you can get some barbecue tongs. Yeah. Well, there was this plastic frame being sold, and it's for people who can't reach their feet. You put the sock on the plastic frame and slide your foot into the sock.
Oh, my God.
So it's like basically they're making accessories for an obese generation
of
people.
Which we just heard in the news from Claire.
Yeah. Did she mention that? Well, that's why Aaron Williams are so good, because you get your finger in the loop, or work boots, okay?
Yeah.
You get the finger in the loop at the back of the Achilles part.
Is that why you wear them?
Pull them on. Then if you can reach your toes. I'm on. Because there's no way in the world you'd be doing up shoelaces because of your gut.
I've put a couple of inches on the front, and my gut actually keeps me away from my wife, because, you know, you go to hug, it's like, oh, no, there's something between us.
Tyranny of distance.
My airbag's gone off.
What has your gut stopped you from doing?
Yeah, or, you know, where has your gut got in the way of?
Yeah, no judgment.
We get a gut and then we go, God, I can't do that anymore. One was getting splinters out of your toes. What else?
Would he have done if you hadn't have been there?
Oh, he would have had to wait, because his toe was starting to throb. There was a bit of.
Can't you just sit down and lift it up from the side, bend your legs?
Isn't that a child's tail that you've adapted there? The bear with the little mouse pulls a thorn out of his paw.
Oh, and they're friends. That's a beauty.
Dear. I bet the bear didn't have a chopper.
But he's
though,
a painter. He wears thongs now to paint, this bloke, because he can't put shoes on anymore.
Ben of the Goldie. You can't do anymore because of your gut.
Morning, team. I'm a wall and floor tiler, so can't always be tiling walls, and now I've got to lean over the gut to get to my job, basically.
Oh, when you're doing floor tiles, it's a bugger.
Yeah, when you're doing floor tiles, you can't grow longer arms, so you sort of stretch down there and find yourself popping the button just to make it more comfortable to get the job done. And
then none of your shirts, you can feel your crack showing too when you're doing, nailing.
There's all sorts of hazards, and you stand up to talk to the client and the buttons pop, you know, and that's not a good look either.
Ben, have you thought about losing it at all?
Come on, Robin.
I thought about losing it. Well, I'd hate to bring beer into the equation.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, Ben. I see you like half a Robin.
It's a big decision. And with the Moon Man there, the spooning of the wife at night.
Yeah,
that's all nice and comfortable until you go, sorry, love,
too much pressure. I've got to lay flat now, you know. Like
too much pressure.
Ben, did you like the moon?
As a junior gutmeister, do you sometimes you're surprised at how it got there? You just think, what is that? When did that get there?
Yeah, it was a real. It was. It was wake up one morning, jump past the mirror, and you know. Where did you come from, mate?
Ben, I apologise for Robin. And Robin, this one, we'll talk to Mark from Caboolture
okay,
here.
That's Ben.
We'll talk from Mark. Don't fat shame him, okay?
I'm not fat shaming.
Him the question.
I'm not fat shaming. Mark, hi.
How are we this morning?
Yeah, what has your gut stopped you from doing?
Well, a couple of years back, I went down to the Gold Coast and some friends of ours and went to theme parks, and it's no worse feeling than getting on a roller coaster and going, yeah, sweet as, and they go, no, you got to get off because we can't get the bar over you properly.
Oh, the security closure. Well, that's probably for the best anyway. Have you ever tried to get into a little sports car?
Yeah, that sucks too. That's just no-go.
Did you like the moon's analogy that it's like the airbag went off and you can't get it back into the box?
Pretty much, yeah. You try and squeeze around the steering wheels or whatever, trying to push it all back in, but it just doesn't happen.
Thank you very much, Mark. And to everyone, this is a diet and exercise-free zone too.
Does it move or is it solid?
Oh, no, most of them are solid. These guys
aren't hard.
You know American guts, when you see their guts, they're all soft and flashy.
Do you have cellulite on your gut?
It's visceral. No, it's rendered fat. Oh. It is rock hard.
Okay, just checking. Don't have one. Mark of Thornlands, what is your gut stopping you from doing?
Oh, well, tandem things with the boys in carts and go-karts and go-karting and things, but my motto always says that my old man said to me once, if you've got a good set of tools, build a shed over it.
That'll do, mate.
It's the Big Breakfast on Triple M.
Warnie's biography, No Spin, is flying off the shelves. We're going to speak to the man himself probably tomorrow. Is that right, Brenda?
Definitely tomorrow.
Definitely
tomorrow.
Definitely tomorrow. Lock it in. I know I've said it for the last 2 weeks, but it's happening tomorrow.
Because his biography, No Spin, with Mark Nicholas, is an absolute must for Christmas if you're thinking about an early present. What we've had here is some confusion, though. We've been talking about Shane Warne, and Shane Bourne thought we were summoning him, and he's been coming in to read some of the biography.
Oh, Shane! He's done it. Shane Bourne reads Shane Warne.
The most beautiful delivery.
A sensational stuff. G'day and good morning, Brisbane. This is Shane Bourne reading Shane Warne. It's just like, hey, hey, it's Saturday. Where's Dags and Aussie? This is sensational. Anyway, chapter 5, Something in the Air. I am, and I'm playing the part of Shane Warne here, I'm at the crossroads. I don't know whether to play for Victoria or New South Wales. So what I do is I jump in my new car, head off to South Australia to get counsel from the great spinner himself, Terry Jenner. Here it goes. I stopped off at some Adelaide drive-through bottle store and bought myself a slab, having driven from Melbourne fast on a whim and had been done for speeding in a little town called Keith, 230 kilometres short of Adelaide. I traded in the Nissan Vector, what a sensational car, with a few bucks from my various jobs and an early contract with the ACB Australian Cricket Board, worth $3,000. There was no plan for the new car, but I'd been on the Nepean Highway driving one afternoon, and on the corner of the big junction near Brighton was a showroom with this gleaming Nissan Pulsar Vector, white with white wheels. It was up on a shiny steel stand, and I thought it looked very cool. I wanted that car. I got $1,200 for the TC Cortina. Dad lent me $1,000. The rest was me. I bought a mobile phone, the big brick one that somehow fitted into the car. In those days, I hooked it all up, took off to Adelaide, music on loud, calling all of my mates on my massive mobile. Free as a bird, Shaney. You sensation. The long road to South Australia flew by until the flashing light in the mirror, the inquisition, the fine and the demerit points. Oh, the writing is beautiful. I mean, Warnie's a bard, isn't he? Sensational stuff.
Another episode of Shane Bourne reading Shane Warne. More soon on Triple M's Big Breakfast.
They just get Bourne to do the whole audiobook. Imagine that.
It's like Stephen Fry reading Harry Potter, isn't it?
What about the Keith? Getting picked up speeding in your middle name, Shane Keith Warne.
Oh, that's amazing. Where would you have been picked up, Greg?
John. There is no such thing.
I would have been picked up in the city of Aral. That's somewhere in Sweden.
Shane Warne joins us tomorrow on The Big Breakfast.
Page 3 of today's paper. It was also on the news last night. Geez, our fireys are good, aren't they?
Oh, are they? What?
They don't what just they put done? Out fires. They resuscitate little pooches.
What?
This was last night. Yeah, it was a little baby chihuahua. And before we get into the story, have a listen to this dog's name.
Raven Rinner, Venus Nesbitt Schumann, the Chihuahua.
That's a cat dog. Wow. Cat dog.
That means it's a breeder, if it's got a name like that. That's on a certificate somewhere.
I don't know. But what happened was this poor little pooch called Raven, the Chihuahua, got stuck in a recliner chair, in the reclining bit.
Oh, don't laugh. Terrible things to happen to little dogs. They often get crushed in weird places. Or
cat dogs.
So the owner.
Large people roll onto them.
Well, the owner then called 000 and the fireys came out.
What? No. Who calls fire? Was it on fire?
No.
Was it up a tree?
Well, maybe the 000 operators decided that the fireys were the most appropriate people. And then.
Well, let's run through it, Robin. Yeah. Hello, emergency services. Yeah. Which service do you want?
I want to resuscitate my chihuahua service.
Oh, you need the fire brigade. I'll get them straight out there.
Isn't that
Where
a police?
Do you live? What part of Tool Town do you live in?
Stop it.
Isn't it a police issue?
Okay, I don't
recliners?
Know. Can You're getting caught up on the logistics, all right?
All right, all right.
Okay,
all right.
Because when the fireys came out, they explained what happened. Now, this is the guy. He's from the Cannon Hill Fire Station, and his name is Keith Hansen.
Had no sign of life. The owners were very distraught, as you could imagine. So I literally put the dog's snout in my ear and I heard a breath. So then we went to work and we started pressing its chest with one finger quite rapidly and giving it oxygen therapy.
Okay. It's incredible.
Keith put the dog's snout to his ear.
And heard a faint breath. But so that's CPR with one finger.
Yeah but then that he said gave breath therapy. That just means snout to
snout. Snout to mouth resuscitation.
So you'd have to cover the whole snout. You'd have to get the snout right in your fireman's mouth. And
hello, little Raven survived to live to tell the tale.
How big do you reckon Raven is?
About the size of my hand.
Wow.
Teeny tiny. Teeny tiny little chihuahua. Anyway,
How long had he been in the chair?
I don't know. They didn't give me that information.
Their eyes are already bulging. Imagine just getting a big breath from a fire. Would have nearly popped out.
This bloke up to? Okay. I was just having a snooze.
I think...
I'm being molested.
There are other people who have resuscitated pets. I'm just saying this fiery might have done it, but I reckon that there will be people listening who have given mouth-to-mouth to their pet. Justin of Cornubia.
Good morning, guys.
Hello.
I got a call. I was in the pub and I got a frantic call from the wife. Said the dog's gone for a swim and sank to the bottom.
Oh no.
What sort of dog?
Oh, a pitzer. It's one of those hairy McCleary-looking things.
Well, what happened? Right. He must have been couldn't get out, so it just cramped up.
I think the kids were playing with him at the same time. They were only young.
I'm really sad already.
What happened?
No, don't be. the kids dragged him out. The wife said he's not breathing and he doesn't look too good. So I just said, hold his nose, blow into his nose, make sure it's a good seal and just blow rapidly and then until he starts breathing. And took probably about 5 minutes, and he came too.
My God.
She worked on him for 5 minutes.
That's a long time. And then he lasted another 10 years of pain. So he lived pretty long.
Justin, did you leave the pub at any stage while this is going on?
No. There's nothing much I could do there.
No, it's right, Justin. You're like home nurse. Just like
I'll guide you in.
I'm still stuck on the fact that she created a seal around
everything up.
Okay, thanks, Justin. Victoria of Regent's Park. What have your husband resuscitated? What's he done?
He yelled out and he says, "Oh, I think my fish is dead." He loves little goldfish. They swim around in the muddy, mucky, green water most of the time, and they survive forever. And he's got the big pebble stuck in his mouth because his mouth is open. He's floating upside down, and I just said, "Oh, he's got to go to toilet heaven." And he's just, Mom and I, I'll just try this and I'll just massage and squeeze. And anyway, he worked on this little goldfish. It was a fairly big goldfish, actually. Yeah. And he worked on him for, I don't know, a couple of minutes and eventually put him in the water and took him back out again, massaging and put him back in the water. Yeah. So he could have a gob full of water. And the stone eventually popped out after a few minutes.
Oh, had a pebble in his throat.
Yep, they do. They swallow these pebbles and they can't get them back out. And then they sort of drown.
Oh.
He survived. The goldfish survived and I think he's still alive.
Now, you don't seem as actively involved in the goldfish as your husband is, but did he high five you or anything? He said, well, there's one.
My goldfish hasn't got hands, Marlo, so like.
I just shook my head. No, he's pretty chuffed he saved his goldfish. Oh. That was about a $30 one.
Oh, great.
Said how much goldfish
you got that one was.
Victoria, you've got to take heart that, you know, if he's prepared to do that for the goldfish, he's probably prepared to do that for you too.
Well, yeah, hopefully. I do wipe the glass down for him every now and again.
Oh, he owes you. he owes you one.
Contribution.
Big breakfast on Triple M.
Robin, actually, I better tell everyone, there's such excitement in here because of your wedding on Saturday.
Oh,
it's your birthday party tomorrow night. Both of them are being held out of Brisbane.
Yeah, thank God.
You've been excited for months. I'm just catching on to the excitement.
Oh, you're just getting excited now, aren't you?
And last night, yeah, I told you about 2 or 3 weeks ago, we got a whiteboard at home. Mm-hmm. Finally, we used to have a chalkboard, then we ran out of chalk. So I said, no bugger this. We've all got whiteboard.
Everyone's
and it had on
name.
It, this weekend it has Robin's party, Robin's wedding is written on there so the kids know Mum and Dad won't be around so they can plan accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
All right. One of the children said last night, you're kidding. This will be your second old person's wedding this year.
Harry.
No, that was Hillary.
It wasn't Hilly.
She said, you two only get invited to old people's weddings now.
Hilly!
We've got a couple of nephews and nieces getting married next year. But so there's our second 50-year-old girl getting married this year.
Yeah.
Now.
So this from their perspective, she's 20 years old.
It's going to be people in Zimmer frames.
Yeah, that's right. We're sitting at a table eating cake with no teeth and we're just incontinent. Just like, oh, good luck, Robin, with the rest of your lovely life.
You picked Sean up at a nursing home as far as our kids are concerned, all right? Now,
listening to the Glenn Miller Big Band.
Okay, they're not playing.
First thing I asked you this morning because Kath said, we haven't got a wedding present.
You don't have to get me a present. This was so badly organised on my behalf, and I take full responsibility for that. Considering we are old.
What do you buy old people?
Exactly right.
You've got a toaster.
We don't want anything, and this is a destination wedding. You guys are having to travel. That is enough. But when you don't put something on an invitation, people get upset. Mm. Now, I'm not going to do a wishing well because that's really rude.
What's a wishing well?
You know, when you put money into a thing.
Put money in an envelope and throw it in the wishing well. And
who does the thing where you pin it on you?
The Greeks.
The Greeks, yeah. Or just a scratchy.
The Balkans.
let's just go all in on a bag of Werther's Originals for Robin Bailey. What about that?
Oh, nice. The Toothless Tiger present.
Right. Toothless Tiger. Happy old wedding day to you. It's the Big Breakfast.
Thanks,
on Brisbane's Triple M. Brisbane's Triple M, Big Breakfast, Marto, Robin and the Moon Man. We are on a mission to get a 3-year-old home for Christmas after contracting a life-changing illness. Going to continue lending Henry a hand in just 10 minutes.
There's been controversy raging around the My Health Record implementation. Now, if you don't know what this is, it's a national health record scheme where every individual in Australia, man, woman and child, will have a health record created for them online. Now, a lot of people have been critical of the whole setup. First of all, from a public privacy point of view, how the government is going to amass all this information about your entire health record from every doctor you've ever seen and every prescription that you've ever had filled and know exactly what your health status is.
Do they have that information? Why don't they have that information
now?
Because, so everything
with
my
Medicare
doctor does, he taps away these days. Yeah.
They do have that via Medicare, but they cannot access it in one particular spot. Now, we're not talking about any individual here. We're talking about government as a whole and it becoming a behemoth. The trouble with this is, and this has been the concern of unions, civil liberty people, family violence charities and other health experts, is that 900,000 authorised users will have access to it.
Who are all these?
Or their doctors. and other healthcare professionals and law enforcement experts.
Pharmaceutical companies and stuff?
Okay.
Well, not companies necessarily, but of course, it being on the internet, it could easily be hacked and all of that information become available.
Yeah. Can you explain to me then what is the benefit? Why does the government want this right now?
They love information.
So what they're saying is that if they amass all of this information, basically it'll improve public health because they'll be able to access stats and also how people access health and improve access to health. That's their whole
Why would I want to get out? Well, all these people who are opting out, why would I want to do that?
Because it's all over Facebook. There are so many people doing that.
You can control... Why you would want to get out is because you can control your own health records.
What am I hiding?
Yeah, you're not hiding anything. What you're doing is basically taking control of your own privacy. And so I say to people, opt out. They've extended, the Senate has just extended the opt-out period to the end of January 2019. If you don't opt out, you'll be in that system forever and you'll never be able to opt out.
Yeah.
That's it from the end of January
next year. Yeah, but how hard have they made opting out?
Opting out is absolutely simple, folks, and this is the way you do it. You go to Google, put in my health record, one word, my health record, and then the words opt out of my health record comes up and you need your license and your Medicare card and you can get out and you're not part of the machine, brother or sister.
So do I have to do that for my children too?
Well, if they're on your Medicare card, you can opt them out as well. Ask them if they want to be in and have a chat about it. But I say... Don't give the government any more information
what are
than
you scared
already
of?
Got.
Like, well, they'll pick up that I don't buy many toothbrushes. Like, I haven't used a Do they pick up what you buy at a pharmacy? Is that on there?
No, I don't think the Chemist Warehouse till is logged into the system.
All right.
That guy is buying a lot of painkillers.
It's the big breakfast.
And Baroccas.
Triple A.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.